It's been called a trick, a gimmick, a circus pitch, and a freak. With most pitches, the idea is to throw the ball as hard as you can and put a lot of spin on it. With a knuckleball, you take the spin off, and velocity usually ranges between slow and slower. The batter doesn't know which way the ball will break because the knuckleball pitcher doesn't know where it's going either.
You need the fingertips of a safe cracker and the mind of a Zen Buddhist. Because you throw the ball off of your fingertips. But if one of those fingers happens to catch on the ball or stay on it a little bit longer, it tumbles. And once the ball tumbles, you know, it's like batting practice. You know, here, hit it.
A lot of times it has a mind of its own.
It's going to do whatever it feels like doing, and you don't know what that's going to be.
You know, you let it go and see where it takes you.
That's an excerpt from a new documentary called Knuckleball. You heard two knuckleball pitchers there, Jim Boughton and Tim Wakefield. If you ever threw the knuckleball, who taught you? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. R.A. Dickey of the New York Mets is also featured in that film. He spent years in the minor leagues before he mastered the knuckleball in his mid-30s. He's now one of the best pitchers in the game. He's also the author of a memoir called Wherever I Wind Up, My Quest for Truth, Authenticity, and the Perfect Knuckleball. And he joins us now from WFAN's broadcast booth at Citi Field in New York. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thanks for having me.
And who taught you to throw the knuckler?
Well, you know, it was passed down through, generationally for me. My grandfather showed me the first grip of a knuckleball when I was probably around 8 or 9 years old, and I just kind of played with it ever since. I think what I became enamored with right off the bat was he showed me, yellowed newspaper clipping of him striking out 17 or 18 hitters throwing nothing but knuckleballs, and from then on I was hooked.
Yet you were, in high school and college, a conventional pitcher, throwing fastballs, sinkers.
Yes. I really didn't have a need for a knuckleball because I threw the ball pretty hard and was going to be a first-round draft pick because I had the ability to throw the ball 94, 95 miles an hour, which usually puts you in as a top-round pick. And so I really didn't have a need for it. I could get guys out with the weapons that I already had.
As the film points out, the knuckleball is generally everybody's plan B.
Yes. In fact, that's one of the things I think is necessary for you to be a good knuckleballer, is that you kind of, in some ways, have to come to the end of yourself to be able to embrace something like the knuckleball. I had been a conventional pitcher for some time professionally, and I had to come to terms with my own mediocrity, and that's a hard thing to do for an athlete. And thankfully, I had shown the knuckleball enough in my practice sessions and occasionally when I'd throw it in a game, where Oral Hershiser, the pitching coach for the Texas Rangers, said, I think you can do this full time, because what you're doing now as a conventional pitcher just wasn't going to cut it anymore. And so I had to take that next step, and I did that in 2005.
It's relatively unusual for Hershiser, of course, a great pitcher himself in his day, but a conventional pitcher, and for pitching coaches to embrace the knuckler.
Yeah, it's difficult because, you know, I mean, a knuckleballer represents a very small fraternity of human beings, in that there's probably only been 60 or 70 knuckleballers that ever have walked the face of the earth. I mean, really, without being too dramatic about it. But so there's not a lot of people who have walked a mile in your shoes, so to speak. And one of the things that makes a good coach usually, is their own experience with something. In this case, rarely will you find a traditional pitching coach with the knowledge of a knuckleball. You almost have to turn to each other. For me, it was Charlie Huff and Phil Niekro and Tim Wakefield, some of the men that are featured in the documentary that's out. So, it's tough. It can be tough. You have to be your own best coach.
And you have to be, as you said, willing to change your thinking, again, not just from going throwing hard. You're in fact throw your knuckleball pretty hard, at least as far as these things go, but to throwing something that is completely unusual and outside the thinking you've done your whole life.
Yeah, it is a countercultural pitch. It really is. I mean, in an age where people embrace people that are fast and jump high and people that throw the ball hard, I mean, you're talking about trying to do the opposite. You're trying to talk about, you know, doing something that's erratic and slow, and how can you get big league hitters out with that particular pitch? Now, it helps to have, for me, it has helped to have people who have really poured into me. I could not have done this myself. I am not a self-made man by any stretch of the imagination. I had to lean on the people who've come before me, and those men really helped me.
And in a game that celebrates in many ways youth, this is a pitch that most people don't really master until their mid-30s, ancient by baseball standards.
Yeah, and I would be careful to use the word master. It's such a. I don't know if you ever master the pitch. Charlie Huff told me the first day I ever met him, when I was learning the pitch, he said it took me one day to learn how to throw a knuckleball, and it took me a lifetime to learn how to throw it for strikes.
Yeah, throw it over
and
the plate.
So, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's hard to catch, it's hard to hit, it's hard to throw, and so that's why you don't see more guys doing it. It's a very difficult thing to do. I think a lot of people think it's an easy thing because they see a ball coming up at 75 or 65 miles an hour, and they think, oh, I can throw that hard. Well, to be able to take spin off of a baseball is very difficult.
And the spin has to be off if you want the pitch to be moved around unpredictably by wind mm-hmm. currents.
Yeah, wind currents, I would say, and also, it takes a great deal of hand-eye coordination to be able to be comfortable with the feel of a good knuckleball. And what I mean by that is when I release the ball from the rubber or the mound, by the time it gets to the home plate and the catcher's mitt, I want it to have rotated about a quarter of a revolution. And so to be able to feel a quarter of a revolution come out, it takes a lot of repetition. And hopefully over the course of many, many years, you're able to build that repetition in where it becomes muscle memory and you don't have to think about it. It can become just an organic experience, if you will. And for me, that's what it took. It took about 4 years for me to really get comfortable in my own skin.
We want to hear from those of you who've thrown the knuckleball or tried. Who taught you? 800-989-8255. Email us talk at npr.org. And Richard's on the line with us from Fairfield Beach in Ohio.
Hello?
Hi, Richard. You're on the air.
Oh, wonderful. When I was a young kid, Chick O'Neill taught me to hit a baseball, which worked marvelously. And his idea of a knuckleball had both outside fingers extended and the inside fingers curled up in a slight outward motion at the end of the pitch, like a punch, to make to get the spin off the ball.
Mm-hmm. And did it work?
You have to be very brave to throw that thing.
I would
you
agree
have to
with
be
that.
Very brave, and I was always trying to throw it harder to get them out.
That's fascinating. R.A. Dickey, in the film, at one point you're having difficulties and you meet with one of your gurus. He says, you have to be willing to throw it slower, and you say, it's so hard to ramp it back when I get excited.
Yeah, I think that is. That's right. That's right.
You're having difficulty with exactly where you're placing the pitch.
Control, yeah.
Yeah.
I could always throw it right on target 4 out of 5 times. And the fifth pitch, I hadn't the slightest idea where it was going.
Well, Richard, thanks very much.
Surely.
R.A. Dickey, some of the fascinating parts of the film are watching you and your compatriots sitting around talking. And this, as you mentioned, is a fraternity. And there's a great moment toward the end of the movie where Tim Wakefield is seen speaking at his retirement ceremony at Fenway Park.
Thank you to the Red Sox for giving me the greatest time of my life. Phil and Joe Niekro, Charlie Huff, Tom Candiotti. Thank you very much for welcoming me into your fraternity. R.A. Dickey, it's your turn to carry the torch for a while. Thank you, guys.
And your turn to carry the torch. I think you're the only active knuckleball pitcher in the major leagues.
Yeah, last year was Tim's retirement year, and so after he left the game, it left only me. And it was a sweet moment to see that in the film when I watched it myself, because he and I have become friends. And you certainly have an instant bond there when you're trying to do this for a living and you come across other men who have done it for a living. It's a real special relationship, and I'm certainly thankful for it.
Let's go next to Doug, and Doug's on the line with us from Sioux Falls in South Dakota.
Hi.
Hi, Doug. Go ahead.
I was was about 10 years old, and I met Wilbur Wood at a baseball card signing. He played for the White Sox, and he showed me how to grip the knuckler, and I didn't really use it until I was in my late 30s, and I started playing amateur baseball, and I lost my fastball, and I had a little bit of a slider, but I went back to the knuckler, and it took a couple of years to get so I could throw it so it looked like a butterfly. But I played till I was 48, and the looks on some people's faces, I threw that in a forkball bowl, were just priceless. You know, if the guys would swing and miss at it, they had no idea what it was. They'd never seen one before, these younger players.
Sure, and in an amateur league as well. Great satisfaction, you say, in fooling major league hitters.
Yeah, you know, some of my favorite memories are memories of throwing a pitch in a game to a big league hitter and having him swing and miss and the ball actually hit him, which is it's fun to see the reaction on their faces. So I can certainly, relate to that story, that anecdote. I think that's a real rewarding feature of throwing a knuckleball, is that there's something very chaotic to it. And if I don't know where it's going, a lot of the time there's really a good chance the hitter doesn't know where it's going. So if you throw a good one, you know it, and it comes out of your hand just right, perfectly. I don't know if anybody on earth can hit it.
And a forkball, for those not initiated, is a way to throw a changeup that also sinks. So Doug, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
We're talking with R.A. Dickey of the New York Mets, one of the candidates for this year's Cy Young Award in the National League. Currently leads the league in earned run average. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And in your book, you make the argument that learning to throw the knuckleball required learning to come to terms with yourself emotionally as well.
Absolutely. It was no coincidence in my own life that, they paralleled one. My growth as a knuckleballer and my growth as a human being kind of paralleled one another. And what I mean by that is when I really started to embrace who I was and what made me unique in my own personality and not be ashamed of that, it really allowed me to step deeper into my craft as a knuckleballer. And I was thankful for people that had taught me to be self-aware enough to know that there are a lot of things in my life that I could get better at. And, that really helped me perform in my career as well. And so, yeah, I would say for sure that those things coincided.
And that through struggles of a 35-year-old man at one point sent back down to the minor leagues where most of those kids are in their mid to low 20s.
Yeah, I was married and had three kids at the time and was living upstairs in an above-garage apartment making, $1,400 a month or whatever it was just for the months that you're playing. It's hard to live that life and feel like you're being a responsible husband and parent. Thankfully, I have an incredible mate who would not allow me to have a regret, and so she followed me all over this good country.
Let's go next to Nate. And Nate on the line with us from San Antonio.
Yeah, how you been?
Good, thanks.
Good, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead, please.
I grew up, my grandpa, he played minor league baseball until he was mid-30s or so. And anyway, when I came along, and my dad and he would take me out to the same lot, and he tried to teach me to hit a knuckleball. He was pretty good at throwing one, and I probably spent 5 or 6 years growing up, constantly going out, never could hit a knuckleball.
It's a difficult thing to do. I can't hit anything, much less a knuckleball. But it's a difficult. Parts of the film that are satisfying, R.A. Dickey, as you mentioned, was watching all those batters strike out. But we also see Darryl Strawberry hit a ball, about a million miles off a knuckler.
Yes, sir.
It's interesting. Oh. Nate, thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And if you're the last one in the major leagues, R.A. Dickey, is it your chance to be your turn also, not to just to carry the torch, but to become the evangelist for the knuckleball, to proselytize the art?
Oh, that's a good metaphor. I feel a real responsibility to share what I do with people who want to learn it. That's for sure. Because that was what was done for me, that kind of pay it forward type mentality. I think for us, as knuckleballers, at some point, we've all had somebody inject themselves into our life from a career standpoint that really helped us get to the next place. fortunately for me, I had you know, a Hall of Famer and a couple of guys that had won 200 games really pour into me. And so they knew what they were talking about, and I was just like a sponge when I was around them. And they really helped me take the next steps. I'm telling you, if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be talking to you now.
Because at one point, you completely changed your grip.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the first thing that Charlie Huff did when I met him was change my grip. And, of course, the knuckleball, one common misconception is that the knuckleball is thrown with the knuckles. I mean, they call it a knuckleball because you see the knuckles sticking straight up in the air when your grip is coming forward to the hitter. But at the same time, it's your fingernails that are dug into the surface area of the leather of the baseball that enable you to stabilize it in a way where you can release it without spin. And so he helped me change my grip on the baseball. So I went from gripping it in one place to behind the horseshoe of the baseball. Mm-hmm. There's a side of the baseball that looks like a horseshoe, so I take my fingernails and I grip them in right behind that seam.
Well, R.A. Dickey, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, the film is called Knuckleball, and R.A. Dickey currently has 18 victories on the season and three starts left. Good luck to you.
Thanks for having me.
R.A. Dickey of the New York Mets joined us from the WFAN broadcast booth at Citi Field in New York. The Mets host the Phillies there tonight. The documentary Knuckleball premieres tomorrow in New York City. It's also available now on iTunes and video on demand. Tomorrow, how people of different faiths view atonement, repentance, confession, and forgiveness. It's the talk of the nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Cohn in Washington.